It's alive! It's alive!
OtherworldlyCulture.com presents Dead On Movie Reviews.
Salutations and mutilations. You're listening to Otherworldly Culture presents Dead On Movie Reviews. Tonight, we will present horror movie reviews and lively debate here on OtherworldlyCulture.com and on future select Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can join our live chat at that time by clicking on live shows link on the OtherworldlyCulture.com website. I'm your host, Tim Kretschmann, coming to you from the land of lakes and landfills, beautiful and smelly Muskego, Wisconsin. It's my honor to introduce the Faculty of Fear here presenting tonight's lectures. And there we go. So let's start with Adam Holzapfel. He's back from the Diz and he's taking a whiz on a new movie tonight. And as usual, he exhaustively searched every nook, every cranny, every dark corner of the internet by clicking on a single button marked Shutter. He is the Taco King. Here's Adam.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Fantastic. Thanks for asking, Adam. We're going to have a great show tonight, if it kills you. All right, and next we have a little Mikey Exler. He's back again as the denizen of the dismal. He is the purveyor of the putrid, that exciting exclaimer of glorious gloom wrestling up from his stony tomb. He's the monster of the mad, ghoul of the glad, and that sack of mumbling, moaning pus that barfs out baloney. He's one. And there are many, but he's our very own panel purveying provocateur, Coach Michael Exler. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, Tim. Thank you for having me on this lovely show.
Do you like the new intros?
They're nice. I don't know why I have to spit out baloney, though.
I'll tell you when we get to your review. We'll see. All right. Okay. And we got everything set up. We are ready to go with our show. And we're going to start with our good friend, Adam. What? Oh, wait. First, I have to say, we are going to streaming once again for our good friend, yes. Adam. Oh, I see the streaming service came across. So, Adam, what have you been watching?
I watched 1981's Bloody Birthday. It's currently streaming on our non-sponsor and Tim's favorite service, Shudder.
That's right.
Booyah.
I love them all.
Yeah. Yeah, love them all.
But I love that one least of all. I love it least of all. Yes.
So, this movie revolves around kids killing people, which you can kind of see from the photos Tim found. The major star of the film is Julie Brown from Earth Girls Are Easy. Billy Jacoby plays one of the three killer kids. He's probably better known from his role in Just One of the Guys, and Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is kind of a goofy movie. Like, I'd say it's one that it's better when you're watching with people. If I watched it alone, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much. The storyline is goofy as hell because these three kids were born on the same day during a solar eclipse. And people believe that's why they go on a killing spree. I don't think you ever really get an answer why. It's just what the book of astrology says.
Well, hold on. That's what makes good horror movies. I hate it when they explain that all the time. Oh, now here's the reasoning behind this whole thing.
Right.
I don't want that.
Like, I'm fine with the no explanation. It's just like they tease it and then they just never mention it again. So it's like, okay, you know, you don't want to give me like a taste of like something and then take it away. But
now, wait a minute. You said Julie Brown, but in 81, she was an adult. She isn't one of the kids, is she?
No. Oh, she's the one that you had the nude picture of a few slides back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I know you're going to hate this, but Dee Wallace is not in this, Tim.
That's a big mistake. That's a big mistake for a 1980s horror film.
Should always get her involved. She would have been perfect as the mom in this.
Yep, absolutely.
So I think the runtime's like around an hour and 20 minutes.
Perfect.
Overall, the setting was good. It just kind of feels like a been there, done that film, even though it was a precursor to a lot of the 80s killer kids movies. So it's one that there's definitely better options to see if you're in a killer kids mood.
Wow. Like what?
Yeah.
Like what? What movie has got a bunch of killer kids?
I mean, there's Children of the Corn, like, for one.
See, I'm not a huge fan of that one either.
I think there's one from the 70s from Spain called Who Can Kill a Child that was pretty good.
That one I don't know. Okay.
There's Village of the Damned.
See, I don't like that movie at all. And I know there's the Carpenter version and the 60s version. I don't like either of them. I don't know why.
I actually saw this film too, and I'm actually not a big killer kids movie fan. Like, I don't like Children of the Corn. I don't like it at all. I think it's stupid. But that's why I think I dug this movie, because it was done in a sort of goofy, over the top way, and I think that played well to this movie. If they had tried to do it like dead on serious, I think it would have been unwatchable.
Well, I think it's got a lot of the same problems that you always have with Chucky, right, Mike? It's like,
yes,
it's a kid. I should be able to just pick him up and throw him across the room, no problem.
Yeah,
right. And that's the same problem you have with Chucky, Mike. You've said this repeatedly on the show. Oh, it's like, it's a doll. Just kick it and it'll go for 20 feet, you know? And that is a good point. But I always point to the original Child's Play, I think, actually gets it right, because it's got the right amount of camp in there, but it doesn't go so campy that you can't get creeped out a little bit. And then every movie after that, they went far too far over to humor, and they could never recapture the horror element, like, at all. They tried, but they just couldn't recapture that to save their lives. So this one, do you feel like these kids could actually have killed the adults?
No.
We'll see. Go ahead, Adam. I'm sorry.
I don't feel like they could have. I mean, I guess with the situations they were put in, possibly, but not really.
They the one kid, he had a handgun and he kept standing outside of windows and shooting people through the windows, which was great.
Well, that would work.
Yeah, I mean, so there was really, the size didn't have anything to do with, you know, you could just kick him or whatever, because he was essentially sniping people.
Well, one that I saw online, the kid sneaks up from behind with a baseball bat. Fuck, yeah, that would work.
Yeah, that sure would.
That would work. If I'm just standing there one minute and all of a sudden I get a baseball bat upside the head, I'm done.
I think that's where the numbers come into play and make it a little more of a possibility, is, you know, the kid sneaks up with the baseball bat because the guy's talking to the other two kids, or like Mike said, the one kind of sniping people, but you know, there's bulletproof glass area, dummy. Like, that's right. Best line from the film. The arrow through the eye was a nice touch. I'll give him props for that kill.
Was there a good amount of gore? Was there a good amount of gore with this?
Not really.
No, I wouldn't say it was gore heavy, because, I mean, there were kills, but it was a lot of, like, just maybe blood. They didn't get real in-depth.
They weren't, in the entrails of their victims or anything like
that. No, it was mostly done by knives and a gun, so, yeah. You know, it wasn't anything too gory. I think the actual arrow death might be the most gory of them all. It was cool, but I will say one thing, and I'll, like, the movie's fun. Watch it with friends, most definitely. You know, and it's a precursor to a ton of movies, and a ton of movies have taken bits and pieces of this film and used it, for sure. But the little girl in the movie, like, I thought she was really good, man, because there were a lot of times that she was fucking nuts, dude. She played that very well. And if there was resting bitch face wasn't a thing before 1981, this girl should be credited for it. She had it.
I recognize this girl. Do we know anything about her? Because I saw her picture on this thing, and I was like, she was on something, like little House on the Prairie or something.
I have no idea.
She looks so freaking familiar. What was the name of that little girl? The character named Jeremy? Was it Joyce or Debbie?
No. Debbie.
Debbie? Debbie Brody?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the girl. Okay, yeah, she was on Mork and Mindy, so that was when I was watching a lot of TV in the late 70s and early 80s. She was on Chips. Yeah. Fantasy Island. Oh my god, this reads awesome. Wow, she hasn't made anything since 84. She was a child actor and she said, done. This is like one of the few movies. She did an episode of Chips, Mork and Mindy, Fantasy Island, Eight is Enough, Barnaby Jones. She was in the Blues Brothers. Then she went back to TV, Magnum P.I., King's Crossing, I don't even remember that show. Prime Suspect, Father Murphy, and Children in the Crossfire. So she went, after Bloody Birthday, she went quickly off the charts. And fully three? Yeah, I think it's three times that she was named either girl, little girl, or daughter number three.
She was typecast. What can I say?
Yes, she was.
Typecast out of Hollywood.
To me, when I was looking at her, I'm like, I recognize this little girl from television somehow. So it's possible, but it doesn't sound like she had very big parts.
That way. My thought. I thought I recognized her from something, but other than the Blues Brothers, nothing's really jumping out at me that I would have seen her in.
I guarantee you I saw her in Chips. That used to be my jam, man. I watched that every damn week.
What's funny, there's a scene in the movie where there's a huge Erica Estrada Chips poster on the wall.
It's true.
Did either of you guys ever watch that show, or was that over by the time you were watching TV?
I've seen it in passing, but I was too young to really pay attention.
I think I've seen episodes on reruns, you know, yeah, on TNT.
It was between that show and Dukes of Hazzard as to what show would ruin more cars per episode, but Chips usually won. It would have, like, the opening scene would be a 30-car pileup on the freeway. And then the rest of the movie, or the rest of the show, is them trying to save the people on the freeway. And I'm like, well, they could just get out of their car, jump over the median there, and leave.
But Tim, there was a character in the film,
yes,
that was a sheriff, and his last name
was Brody. That's the spirit. And in 81, that would have been an homage.
Yeah, there's a lot of homage type stuff throughout the film. And, you know, like, you could pick up on either where Dark Knight the Scarecrow influenced parts of this, or vice versa. Like,
okay,
a lot of homage type stuff, which was kind of fun to pick out.
Perfect. Well, it sounds to me like maybe it's time to go to the grading.
Yeah, I'd give this a strong B minus.
Okay, usually we wait for the report card to show up. That's what we usually do. So that Tim has enough time to enter it. Okay, Adam, what would you grade?
I'd give a strong B minus, Tim.
Thank you, Adam. Now, Mike, you saw it too. What would you give it?
I liked it. I'm going to give it a B. Just a solid B.
Yeah, baby. So that's actually that's a fairly good score on our show. That's like a strong recommendation.
I think if I were watched it alone, it may have been different, but when you're in a taco coma and just kind of hanging out with people, I think it's a good watch.
Fantastic. All right. It's time to go to Mike, and you also watch the streaming service. And of course, it just didn't do it the way I wanted it to. There we go. And there's the service that you utilized.
I did. I utilized Hulu.
Hulu! Hooty-hoo! Is that how it goes?
So.
Yeah. What? All right. So, Mike, what have you been watching?
So, I watched, it's a series called Into the Dark on Hulu. It's a Hulu original series. And I had no idea that it was a series because it's a movie length series show or now, episode.
Do you know the backstory to this series?
I know Blumhouse produced it, but that's literally all I know.
Basically, Blumhouse, as you know, I'm a big fan of the Blumhouse model because what they do.
I thought you were a big fan of Blumpkins.
Yeah, that too. Because they'll make like 10 million dollar movies instead of one $100 million movie, and they try to see what'll work. But they also have a ton of scripts that they just go, I don't know that we want to try to go theatrical with it. And they went to Hulu and said, you know, we've got some movie ideas. They're good, but they're not where we think it is for cinema. Would you guys be interested? And I was doing a TV series, and I think it's 12 episodes they've done already that are each like 90 minutes a piece. So it's like an additional 12 horror movies in the world every year while they do this Into the Dark thing. So that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
I agree. I learned something new today. I had no idea about this whole thing.
which means you have like 11 other movies to go find now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, this one's called School Spirit. So I would read you the description, but I'll save you the trouble and just say it's the Breakfast Club in a haunted school.
Yeah. Oh, hold on.
The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
That's from the Breakfast Club. So I finally
got it. Can you describe the ruckus?
I was thinking the same thing when I watched this. I'm like, oh, this was an easy pitch. This is this is Breakfast Club meets Scream. You know?
Yeah, it really was.
I mean, they probably what happened is the guys that wrote this came in and said, we want to do the Breakfast Club meets Scream. And they said, okay, $3 million. As you know, it's like, okay, right. Go ahead. Do her.
Have fun. Exactly. To do your thing.
Yep. Live your best life.
the production quality on the film, I thought was, you know, pretty good. It looked like a film. It did not look like an indie production or anything like that. What did you think, Tim? Was it well lit for you?
Well, I have to agree wholeheartedly. This is a movie that looks like a movie made direct for streaming, you know? And that was good. Plus, once again, the name of the movie should be Breakfast Club Screams or something like that. So it would be really crappy if it looked like one of those grainy, we're going to use Dad's 8mm, you know, camera type things. It has to look like it's an episode of Beverly Hills 90210 or something. It has to look a little slick because it lives in that world, right?
Mm-hmm.
It needs to have that look. And I think they captured part of that. And we'll get into that as you continue your review.
My review of School Spirit. I do want to say that I think the name is stupid. I don't like the title of the film, School Spirit. But in any case,
I think it works.
I mean, it works. It's not a horrible name, but I think there could have been a better name. I don't know. It's just generic to me.
Well, I mean, I was joking about Breakfast Club Screams. Because I think there would be some sort of litigation involved with that.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The Mascot Murders?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Adam, would you please copyright that for us right away? Mascot Murders?
Yeah.
I think we can call up Jason Blum and we could get this made, like, tomorrow.
And you know, you could always call it Beverly Kills 90210, I guess.
That would be good. I like that. Sure. I like that. All right, go on. I'm sorry, Mike.
All right, that's okay. So you basically have the Breakfast Club. You have the typical high school trope characters that you can think of.
Right.
It's mainly centered around Erica, who was played by Annie Q. I don't know why she's like Madonna or just a last name. I don't get that. But you said, Tim, that the dude that played Brett is somebody that's famous or something?
Yeah,
I don't
know. He's like some up-and-coming. A lot of people think he's going to become something. I don't know. But when I was doing the search for the photos that are, for those of you that only listen to the show, yeah, there's actual visual component to the show if you want. It was his picture. He was the one that was constantly being tagged on all of these photos. So he must have some sort of upward mobility in moviedom.
Right.
But I don't know. I didn't really figure out exactly why he's a hot actor right now. But he is, you know. And this good on him.
On IMDb, dog. You're helping him out.
Yeah, I am searching here to try to figure this one out, why exactly this kid has got the heat. I did think he was very good. I thought all the acting was very good. I don't know how you felt.
No, I thought the cast did very well. It was, I don't recognize anybody in the cast at all. But I thought they were all very capable. There wasn't one person I was like, that was kind of weak. I thought they all did. They brought their A game for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give too much of the story away because
I think what? You told the story. You know, it's Breakfast Club and people die one by one.
And people die. And there's a paranormal element mixed in, slasher element. So you have all of that in a school. And that's it. An alcoholic principal. Crazy.
Okay, and I want to go there for a second. The one thing I think was weak, and that's why this wouldn't have worked, by the way, I'm looking at this Corey Fogelmanis, his IMDb. The only thing I can think of is this kid was apparently one of the primaries on Girl Meets World. He was on that show.
What the fuck is that, Tim?
I don't know. It looks like, but he was there for 3 years and 71 episodes. I think that's one of those Disney shows. Yeah, it is a Disney show, it says here.
Oh.
So I think that's why the kids got heat. He was in that movie Ma with Octavia Spencer.
Is that any good? Did anybody see that?
I haven't seen that one either. I was just about to ask you. Say that again, Adam. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it. It's one I've been wanting to check out. I just haven't had the time to.
Yeah, I have not heard good or bad on that. I don't know.
And looks like there's like 14 Into the Dark films. Season 2 started up in October.
Yeah, which is the right time to premiere that season for them.
That's so many movies.
Yeah, well, you better get cracking, brother.
Man.
You better get on this. But my feel about the Breakfast Club element is, unfortunately, outside of our main two characters, I would say, there wasn't a lot of character development, and they also didn't go too deep into just making the character fit the cliche that they were going for. Because there was, when they introduced all the characters, I'm like, oh, that's Judd Nelson. Oh, that's, you know, that's Molly Ringwald. That's this one. That's this one. But then they didn't even play that up. And one of the things the whole time I'm watching this, and the principal is kind of a dick and, you know, all this. And I'm like, why would you not spend the extra $30 and get Judd Nelson to play that part? Why would you not do that? That is so, because you could get him for probably like a ham sandwich and stuff. And he does good playing assholes. Did you ever see like Deranged? You ever see that movie? He's damn good in that thing. He's damn good as like a psychotic killer. So I was like, what the hell did they do here? Why did they not hire him? Or why didn't you just go and hire Gleason, the guy that played the principal in Breakfast Club? He's still alive. Is he? No way.
Click away, sir.
I'm clicking. You just made me very sad, if that's true.
I'm sorry to ruin your night.
Oh, my God. In 2006?
He died of mesothelioma.
All right. I am checking if Judd Nelson is alive.
He's alive. Pretty and well. Sure
he
No, I'm checking because that's the only reason they may not have. No, he's still alive.
His career may not be, but he is.
No, he's still making stuff in 2019. But I mean, it's. I'm looking at this list of movies he's making. He is. Oh, he's on the TV show Empire, apparently. That's interesting. But nothing else of note here. God, they could have got him. I am convinced they could have hired him for the principal job. It would have been perfect. And then people would have seen this thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, it would have attached a name to it for sure.
I think they could have went theatrical with it.
No.
I think they could have went theatrical.
Judd Nelson really a theatrical draw, though?
Here's my thing. So. This movie probably cost $4 or $5 million to make, something like that. If that. If you properly promote a horror movie, and this has been proven, if you promote a horror movie, and Blumhouse sure knows how to do it, you promote that thing, it doesn't matter how bad that fucking movie is, it's going to make $20 million. It just is. It just is. The only time I can think of a horror movie that actually didn't make money each time, it was like horribly mismanaged. Like, what was the Sid Haig one? Creature or something like that? That movie didn't make any money, but it also opened on like January 3rd and nobody knew it was coming out.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. If that would have been promoted even a little bit, there would have been all sorts of... Look at people that went to see Texas Chainsaw Beginnings or whatever that thing was. There was no reason to go see that movie. No reason. No reason. But it still made money. I mean, what the fuck? I am convinced that Jason Blum is just an absolute genius. He's like, if I make the movie for this amount, it doesn't matter if the movie's good. The horror people will come out to see it because they just want their horror movies.
One that makes you wonder how much they're getting from Hulu for the series.
$10 million.
Yeah, then they're not spending a ton on these.
I don't know.
They spend like $5,000 each.
I believe.
There you go.
If I remember the original press release on this thing, and I think this got announced back when we had that one show where we did news yet, and I was always trying to dig up news for that show. I think it happened during that period. I think part of the deal was Hulu was like, yeah, we'll take your new series, but do we get your other movies? It was one of those things. Do we get to put Hush on here? Okay, you know.
No.
I think that's how that worked out. Okay. Do you have any more? We don't want to spoil this thing.
No, I don't. Yeah. It's a cool premise. It's definitely something. It makes sense. I don't think it's ready for theaters, but for Hulu, I think it was done great.
So, your grade, please.
I'm going to go... this is crazy, but I'm going to give it an A. I enjoyed it.
Holy cow!
Yep.
Have you ever given anything an A?
Yeah, probably some things. But, I mean, there was some problem. Texas Chainsaw Manicure?
Yeah.
Oh, shut up. Shut your fucking mouth, you piece of shit. Don't do that.
It wasn't a perfect movie. I mean, a perfect movie is like an A++ or an F-, you know what I mean? But
Cannibal Killer Clowns on Dope.
But like everybody was on point on this film. Like the editor was on point, director, it looked good, it sounded good. All the actors were there. You know, it fucking might not have been perfect, but it just felt like everybody was trying, and it was a fucking just a old school type horror film. Like, here's a situation and shit starts happening. You know, there's not all this drama and back shit. There's some character development, but then it moves pretty swiftly into the meat of the story.
Well, they only have 90 minutes, so they had to keep things moving because there were a number of plot points they wanted to get in, and there was a fair amount of students to kill available for them. They even introduced one into the mix where I'm like, oh, okay, he's just here so he can die.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, if all the other ones are like this one, I'm definitely down to check those out for sure.
Okay, do you want to know what I would grade it?
Yeah.
I would also go predominantly positive, but I have to go B+. And my reasoning for not giving it a higher score, though I think that's a damn good score for a thing that was made for TV and, you know, all that. But my point on this thing is I didn't feel, to me, it's mostly a slasher movie if you had to categorize it. And oh, yeah. I think we all understand I'm not a huge slasher movie fan.
That's correct.
But I felt a slasher movie should have a little bit more blood and guts. And there is one truly gruesome murder in here that I really enjoyed because he wasn't getting it done in the first hit. You know, he had to go at it. And that I enjoyed. But I thought, you know, if they're going to do this, they ought to really rip some kids apart. And they played it a little safe, I guess. And that's why I didn't give it a higher score, but B plus is nothing to complain about for me. I mean, that's a pretty damn good score,
especially on a slasher.
Yeah, I, as we've said a million times, this is, I am not your slasher guy. That is not what I do. So, all right, I think it's time for my film, and this one I think all you guys have seen. I finally saw Critters 2, The Main Course. I'm ashamed to say this. I had not seen any of the Critter films other than the first one. I've seen the first one that has my girlfriend Dee Wallace Stone in there. And I
love Dee Wallace.
Oh yeah. I love her. I always enjoyed that movie, and I thought with the first Critters, I've said this before, I think, even on this show, is the thing with Critters is you don't expect much going into it, and it turns out to be a lot better than you expect it to be. It's like, wow, this is actually a fairly decent flick. Look at this. That's not what I expected. I think that's got a lot to do with my love for Critters, because you go and you go, okay, this is just like Ghoulies. This is a ripoff of Gremlins. And you go in and it's got decent acting. It's got a fairly decent story. And the effects are, while not super scary, they're trying and they're having a good time with it, and they're asking you to have a good time. So it's a good, entertaining monster movie. So I go into Critters 2. Now I'm very excited about seeing Critters 2 because it is, I believe it's the directing premiere of Mick Garris. And Mick Garris, for those of you that don't know who Mick Garris is, Mick Garris was the actual founder of the Masters of Horror. He's the guy that put together the dinner party that started that whole thing. He is the director of The Stand, and he did what I consider the superior version, the miniseries version of The Shining. A lot of people get mad at me about that. He is also, now this is a weird fun fact, he also wrote the first draft of Hocus Pocus. So I actually follow his podcast, which is on the Fangoria Podcast Network, which, you know, I'm not going to hold that against him. It's a he does a great show there. So I was really looking forward to this show. And then Scott Grimes reprises his role as basically the ginger hero. But he is on a show that I'm watching as well, The Orville. And I like him on that. So I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So basically the story follows Scott Grimes' character. And he returns to Grover's Bend for more abuse, apparently. And he jumps in on the Muppet Monster Mayhem that's going on in Grover's Bend. Now, this movie, by the way, also is in the book that I read recently called Roger Ebert's I Hated This Movie, which is a collection of him just shitting on movies, which is a very entertaining read, and I suggest it to anybody. Even though he picks on some movies I actually like, this was in there, and I can't remember exactly what he had to say about it, so that's okay, because I kind of went in this just thinking about Critters 1. Now, one of the things that they did, they didn't bring back my girl D, but he's and not. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say my girl D, because there's a lot of rumors that D and I have a relationship, a loving relationship, and really, I want to put those rumors to rest. I use her strictly for sex, but they did put her in the movie, and instead of M. Emmett Walsh, who I'm sure was a paycheck, they brought in Barry Corbin as the sheriff, and you kind of see his picture flipping through here. Barry Corbin.
Corbin's the king.
He is such a good actor. I loved him. He gets to say one of my favorite lines in the movie War Games. He plays the general in there. At one point he says, "I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd do any help," when they're trying to fix the computers. He's so good at that kind of down home delivery. So he's
is that the movie that the computer wants to play thermonuclear war?
That is. Let's play global thermonuclear war. No, let's play tic-tac-toe. I'd like to play global thermonuclear war. Well, of course you would. And then in the movie, too, it actually has a pretty great cast. It has Eddie Deason is in there. He makes an appearance. He is probably best known for being just the nerd in every freaking movie in the 80s. And I think he got one of his early credits was he was in Grease as the nerdy kid. So he's in there. A guy by the name of Sam Anderson. He's also in War Games. Is he in War Games?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Sam Anderson is the newspaper editor. He's one of those guys that would call it that guy. He's one of those guys that when you see him, you go, oh, it's that guy. You can't really name what movies he's been because he's been in like 5,000 of them. But he's just one of those solid actors. And he was good in here. And New Line Cinema mainstay Lynn Shay is featured in here. It's kind of fun to see her as a young woman because she made all the Insidious movies, right? Was where she came back. But here she's
Insidious.
Yeah, she's young in this, and she's kind of playing a reporter in it.
She's not young now.
No, she is not. And then they have Tom Hodges is in this movie, too. He played a bully in I don't know how many freaking movies. And they're all playing the type, every single one of them. But that works, you know, because you look at Eddie Deason and you go, oh, there's the nerd. Oh, there's that guy. There's that guy. So you immediately click it. And Barry Corbin, again, he comes in. And you know he's going to talk with a Texas drawl. He's in the frickin' Midwest someplace. But he's talking with, you know, one of them there type of things. Not talking very Midwest. And
talking about the same Baron Corbin that I know,
Barry, What are you talking about?
Corbin.
Baron Corbin?
No, Barry Corbin.
That's what I'm saying, Baron Corbin.
I know I got this right. Do I have this wrong? I have this wrong, maybe. What is the guy's name?
He's the King of the Ring.
Yeah, King Corbin.
Did I have the name wrong? This is so bad. I'm usually good at this stuff. Now I'm really angry. Where is it? Yeah, Barry Corbin.
Yeah. Baron Corbin.
Okay, yes. Okay, now I get what you're up to. But Barry Corbin was also in No Country for Old Men, which is a favorite movie of mine. But he always plays the same character. But anyway, the effects... Well, the effects are the effects. You know, it's a Critters movie. You don't expect them to spend $10 million on the film. And they did not. You know, they spent as little as they could. What
about the big critter?
The big critter is meh. You know what they remind me of? Do you remember on Sesame Street there were these two aliens that would always open up a book and they'd go, whoop, 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 whoop. Yeah. They look like those to me. I always thought that. Or you know what they also look like is Fluffy from Creepshow. They kind of have that vibe with, you know, 10 million teeth in their mouth.
And they were like the raccoons in the great outdoors. Like they would talk to each other, but then they would use something.
Yes. Yes.
That was probably the best part of all the Critters movies.
And I think we've seen a number of these critters at the different conventions we've been at. Cause I think the Evil Puppets guys have half of these things. They always seem to have a critter along with them.
Yeah.
And I will say, that's one of the stage props I've seen where I go, you know, that does look good. Usually you see these stage props and you kind of go, oh, that's made of cardboard. That doesn't look very good. I thought those guys always looked good.
Are they critters or krites?
You know, they are officially they're krites, but they're in the movie Critters.
Yes.
I like people were calling them like the porcupine rollers or something like that. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But I would say this movie definitely falls in the lane of fun over frightening. In fact, I don't know. I was even nervous for the characters. You know, even in The Blob, I felt a little bit of fear for the character. Here, I was like, whatever, you know. They really didn't want to kill anybody you cared about in the thing. But it was fun. And I don't know what the runtime was. I think it was around 90 minutes. But it felt like it was like a freaking half hour. You were bam, and it was done. So that's a good sign too, because that just means, oh, you were engaged, you had fun, and it's done. There is something about somebody putting on an Easter bunny, costume and being caught in there with killer monsters that are just eating them from the inside. There's something delicious about that. I do think this might be the only horror movie I can think of with an Easter theme. There's a lot of them for Christmas. Not a lot of Easter
things. Easter Bunny Kill Kill.
Which one?
Easter Bunny Kill Kill.
Easter Casket.
Oh, God. You guys watch a lot of shitty movies, just so you know. All right. So it's time for me to rate it. And I think as I was talking, I've decided to give this a higher rating than I was going to. But I still don't think a lot of this movie, and I'm a monster movie guy. I'm going to give it just a C+. I think it's okay. I certainly wouldn't spend a bunch of money on this, particularly since you can find it everywhere. I think I bought it at a rummage sale. I got it laying over here in the corner. I wouldn't spend a whole bunch of money on it, but it is a good time. You know, you can't take that away from it. It's a good time, and that's fine. Do you guys want to rate it?
Sure.
Okay, what are you going to rate it?
I was going to just give it a B.
Okay. And we got a B.
It is my favorite of the Critters.
See, and you had said that before, and I really do prefer the first one because of the casting. I also feel like the first one...
Wasn't DiCaprio in the first one?
No, it's still Scott Grimes. It's the same kid. But I think in the first one, there is a little bit of tension. There's like a microsecond of it. This one didn't. It felt like a romp to me.
It's more comedy driven. Yeah.
Sure.
But at least all the stone isn't in it.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Adam, what would you rate it?
I'd give it a B. It's fun. It's dumb. The Easter Bunny scene's great. The casting's great. Yeah, it's a strong B for me.
I do find it interesting that Mick Garris is one of the masters of horror, because you look through his list of movies, and really his best movies were all kind of TV related. He didn't really make anything that was like, wow, this is a seminal work. You know, that just was not happening for him. But it's nice that they try. Okay, so we have come to the end of the show. This is where we pimp a bunch of stuff. So let me get that open. First, Mike, you want to tell people how they can cover their bare chest?
What?
What can they do?
What are you talking about?
Mike,
T-shirt. Yeah.
Go to fastcustomshirts.com. Type in East Coast Horror Group.
That's right.
You can get yourself one of the limited, soon-to-be vaulted.
Yes, T-shirt. That's going to be in the vault, and people are going to be sad that they missed it. Okay, and we also have a website. Oh, shoot. I still have on. We were trying to get Zach on the show, and it didn't happen. So I don't know why that's still on. Let's turn that off.
Zach Daggy.
No, not Zach Daggy, but thanks for playing along. And that one's not there. There we go. All right. So here's our website. And what we got? We have some more. Is this OWC or no? This is Psycho Las Vegas. We have a press release from. We have Kirk Winstein's come out with some new stuff that's in here. Astronomicon pop culture. I have my Amazon Prime picks for November. Did you guys read that?
It was riveting.
Yeah, that's my James Bond run through, baby. What's your favorite James Bond movie?
Oh God, it's my favorite movie is not my favorite Bond, but my favorite movie is GoldenEye.
GoldenEye, okay. Who's your favorite Bond?
Roger Moore.
Okay. Adam, what about you?
I can honestly say I've never watched a James Bond film.
Really? All the movies you see, yeah. Never saw a James Bond movie. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Well, my favorite is The Spy Who Loved Me with Roger Moore. That is my absolute favorite. But I do think the Timothy Dalton movies... People shit on Timothy Dalton all the time. And I'm like, if you like Casino Royale, that movie was made as License to Kill with Timothy Dalton. So all those reboot things. It's like, yeah, they already did that once. But anyway, that I go into that in the article. So check that out. A lot of Dead On Movie Review episodes out there. I think we still have some of the box office biggies. Yep, I got those out there. Not sure if I'm continuing that show. It's an awful lot of work, and people aren't digging it so far. So I'm not sure I'm going to keep doing the show. I only bat my head against the wall so long, and then I say, eh, maybe not anymore. So anyway.
A View to a Kill. That's my favorite.
View to a Kill? Really?
Yeah. Christopher Walken is the bad guy. There's a blimp in a mine.
I will say I love Tanya Roberts.
Remember the end of the theme song? Yeah.
Actually, View to a Kill, this is a fact. That was the best-selling album of an opening song. I think all the way until Adele's. I think that might have...
Live and Let Die is a second close favorite of mine of Roger Moore's.
That's a good movie. That's a good movie. Anyway. That used to be one of my my ringtones. If you're a true nerd, when I set up my virtual pinball video game, somebody went and made a Bond 50th anniversary or whatever it was, pinball game, and it had themes from a bunch of the different Bond movies. Those are cool themes. When you listen to them one after another, it's like they're all pretty cool. But even the older ones, they had kind of a sheen of cool over them. But anyway, this isn't a Bond show. Well, thank everybody for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We have another show coming up in December. I think it's December 9th. I don't know why I said that without having it up in front of me to tell me. No, it's December 10th. That's an off by one error there. That show will be coming out. You are going to love it. If you actually listen and watch it. But you have to tell your friends about the show because we're not here to talk in an echo chamber. So please tell your friends and you can pick us up on iTunes. A lot of great ways to enjoy our programming. So thanks again, everybody, for tuning in to this week's Dead On Movie Reviews. Hang in there, pumpkin, until our next show, and enjoy your Thanksgiving. And remember, as John Carpenter once said, horror is a reaction. It's not a genre. Wait a minute, did you just change that into Inspector Gadget?
Spooky, what?
You changed the Live and Let Die theme into Inspector Gadget. No?
No?
No.
I think you did.
They are.
I'm going to review the tape. I'm reviewing the tape. All right, good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.